Now, do you follow Pakistan's politics or social media chatter coming out of Pakistan, even cursorily? Because if you do, then you would have noticed a few new expressions have popped up on your radar screen. Now, one is NAB. NAB is National Accountability Bureau. That's an all-powerful organization that in 1999, General Musharraf set up when he staged his coup and took over power. You know, every dictator, when they take over power, first thing they do is to call all politicians corrupt. It's easy for people to believe that all politicians are corrupt. And then they say, I will investigate and call them to account and I will recover all the money. And that money can be anything, 1 lakh crore, 10 lakh crore, 20 lakh crore, 50 lakh crores, or God knows whatever. We saw the figures that Baba Ramdev quoted during the so-called anti-corruption movement. So this is aapki shraddha ki baat hai. You can put any number of zeros as you want. So many zeros were put there and he said, I am going to investigate. And this NAB, National Accountability Bureau, will be an all-powerful body which will be even in some ways free of judicial oversight. So this will be all-powerful. So this became like a na appeal, na vakil, na dalil, investigator, prosecutor, judge, and also arbitrator. So it could also do, accept plea bargains, also make deals. Then the second thing you hear about is something called NRO. NRO is National Reconciliation Ordinance. So what happens when a thief, which Musharraf was, or he would not be now a fugitive hiding overseas on a treason charge and more, and being able to live such a lavish life across the world. So Musharraf, a thief, knows that when you set up a system like this, you must always create an escape route for thieves, because who knows, you might have to use it someday. So he also passed an ordinance called NRO, National Reconciliation Ordinance. Under that, if you were found to be doing anything wrong, up to murder, you could say, like, look, I have done it, but you just spare me all prosecution, jail, etc. I am leaving the country, promising you not to come back. So a lot of people took advantage of that, including the Sharifs, the Bhuttos, and many, 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 many others. Altaf Hussain, the MQM leader who lives in London now, all of them took advantage of NRO. That later Supreme Court of Pakistan struck down as being unconstitutional and illegal, but until then, too many people had escaped already. Now, the third thing that you hear is broadsheet. Now, broadsheet, what is broadsheet? Broadsheet is not a newspaper. We say the Indian Express, Times of India, the Hindu are the broadsheet newspapers. No, not broadsheet like that. It's a company sort of intriguingly named Broadsheet LLC, Limited Liability Company. It's a British company, UK company, but registered in a tax haven called Isle of Man. This company set itself up as an international asset recovery company, which means you could go to the company and say, look, I believe that my country's politicians, following bureaucrats, following generals, admirals, air marshals, I'm talking in the context of Pakistan, but any elites, they have ill-gotten money overseas in illegal accounts. Can you trace that for me? And if you trace that for me, I will give you a certain cut. Now, with this company, Musharraf government signed a contract in 2000 saying that you find us the money, and if you find the money, we'll give you 20% of it. So how many names did they give to this company? 200 names in 5 installments. First installment, July 2000 of 17, then second in August of 16, third in September of 51, and fourth and fifth on November 8, 2008 of 75 and 40 respectively. So total of about 200 names. These names included all the usual suspects, Sharifs, Zardaris, Bhuttos, the who's who of Pakistani politics and Pakistani elites. It had former army chiefs, several, an assortment of lieutenant generals and 3-star level officers, 2 former navy chiefs, 2 former air chiefs. I am not reading out all the names here. You will see them some on the screen. In fact, one of those former navy chiefs later entered a plea bargain because his account of $5 million was actually caught in Jersey Island, but he made a plea bargain with this organization, with NAB, and got himself out of trouble. There were many others who also made political settlements. So one political family was not included by Musharraf carefully, because every dictator also needs the cover of democracy. For that democracy, a dictator needs what is often called a king's party, which means the dictator sets up a political party and the dictator doesn't join it, but the party has his patronage, everybody knows it, and that Pakistan, that party keeps the facade of democracy. Before him, Ziaul-Haq had tried something like that with his so-called partyless democracy. And that's where Muhammad Khan Junejo was made prime minister, but Musharraf went a step further. So he wanted to set up his own party. Now, just as in India, any new party usually would be called Congress or something Janata or something socialist. In Pakistan, they are either People's Party or Muslim League. So just as Nawaz Sharif's party is PMLN, Pakistan Muslim League Nawaz, this party was called Pakistan Muslim League Q or Pakistan Muslim League Qayed, Qayed as in Qaid-e-Azam. So one family of Chaudhry Shujaat Hussain, who is a prominent politician of Punjab in Pakistan, he was excluded from this witch hunt because he was needed to set up this PMLQ. So that deed done, then there were many other politicians who were all listed in this, including prominent names like Rao Sikandar, Faisal Saleh Hayat, Aftab Sherpao, who also decided to defect, leave Pakistan's People's Party and set up another party called PPPP, four P's, Pakistan People's Party Patriots. So because they did that, they were also let off. So soon enough, it became quite evident that this was nothing. They were also the sons of former General Akhtar Abdul Rahman, who died in the plane crash with Zia. So his sons had become politicians, that is Humayun Akhtar and Haroon Akhtar. Both of them were also let off the hook because they also joined PMLQ, the King's Party. So it became quite evident that the purpose of this operation that Musharraf had launched with broadsheet was not so much to recover any money for his country, it was more to get his politics sorted out and it was more to put his politicians in line. Now what has happened? So far so good, or maybe not so good, but it gets much worse from then on. This company, Broadsheet, was founded by an American from Colorado State. He was a businessman called Jerry James. So Jerry James founded this company in Isle of Man. When this company signed its agreement with Musharraf, Jerry James was the owner. But this company went into bankruptcy and liquidation. So by around 2005, he announced liquidation of this company. So this company died. It went into liquidation. He dissolved the company. Then, you think the story ends there? No, the story barely begins now. This smart guy goes back to Colorado and sets up a company and founds another company called what else but also Broadsheet. Now, by the time his company has gone into liquidation, he is owed a bunch of money by Pakistan government. Because remember, Pakistan government had promised him fees and also said that if you recover anything, we'll give you 20%. Now, the original company, still had claims of about $17 million against Pakistan government or Pakistani National Accountability Bureau. So actually, this is a case of what we might call in Hindi, choron ko mor pad gaye. So that company wanted money from NAB now. But this guy said that, look, you will now fight that case forever. What is that company? Broadsheet. I have Broadsheet. I had that company. I shut that down. I have set up a new company called Broadsheet. So you pay me $5 million and I will settle your dues for you. So Pakistan government in panic, or everybody is happy to use taxpayers' money to buy peace for themselves. So they used that money, $5 million, they paid him and they said the story is over. Meanwhile, what happened? Meanwhile, a man called Kaveh Mousavi, that's another name you hear. Kaveh Mousavi is an Iranian name, so obviously originally an Iranian, but he's quite an eminent fellow because if you see his bio, he is a former head of public interest law at Oxford University, an international arbitrator, and also a member of international arbitration courts. So he took over this company meanwhile. When he took over this company and he revived it, he renewed his claims on Pakistan government and the NAB, saying, "Mujhe paisa do." They said, "Why should we give you money? We've already paid money to Broadsheet. He said, "What Broadsheet?" Broadsheet, is this company in the Isle of Man? They said, we paid to Broadsheet in Colorado. So this guy said, and he was right in law, that a company is not an individual. That Jerry James set up this Broadsheet, which was owed money by you. Then that company went bankrupt. So he went to Colorado. He set up another company with the same name. That company will not get the assets or liabilities of this company. So he took Pakistan government to court. Now, this is a story. It's a very cluttered story. And I'm inclined to say that this is a bit of Le Carre and Arthur Conan Doyle mixed there, because there are mysteries and there is also international intrigue, espionage, spying, governments involved, all kinds of stuff. So while this is going on, suddenly Jerry James, the man who had set up this other company, this is a bunty or bubbly operation, because, you know, he's setting up another company in the name of his old company and settling with Pakistan government for about 1/4 of what his original company was owed, and saying, I'm dissolving all your liabilities, is like bunty or bubbly selling the Taj Mahal to some gullible foreign tourists, except in this case a sovereign government can't be gullible foreign tourists. So they gave him 5 million. These stories, we thought, do not happen in real life. A man called Jerry James, the man called Jerry James, jumped from the 5th floor of a hotel in Paris and died. So that story was over, and Kaveh Mousavi now was following his claim of $17 million with Pakistan government. That award has been given and now reaffirmed by repeated international arbitration court hearings, who have held Pakistan government liable to pay damages for wrongfully repudiating a contract or an arrangement, and they've been held guilty of tort of civil conspiracy. Because conspiracy is the Pakistan government and its National Accountability Bureau got into cahoots with this Jerry James, who later apparently committed suicide, although who knows what happens. We know funny things have happened with Pakistani exiles who are all supposed to have committed suicides, mostly Baluchis. So in this case, we don't know what happened. For some reason, he fell off, or he jumped off the 5th floor of a hotel and died. So the arbitration court said, this is mili bhagat, aap sab log mile hue hain, ye nahi chalega. So they ordered a payment of $17 million with $3 million of costs on Pakistan government. And because Pakistan hasn't paid it, they added interest. And in the final order that was given in December, they said this has now become, the figure has become $29 million, which is roughly about 450 crore Pakistani rupees. And they said, if you don't pay this, then the accounts of the Pakistani High Commission will be frozen in, which is exactly what was done by the bank of the High Commission. The High Commission wrote to them saying this is a violation of international law, etc., etc. But this is an international arbitration court order. Even diplomatic immunity has not helped. And Pakistan is now caught in this embarrassing situation where its biggest corruption buster, all-powerful corruption buster, National Accountability Bureau, has now been held guilty and has to pay compensation and penalty to what is at best a very intriguing company and very intriguing Isle of Man company. So that is where the Pakistanis find themselves now. Now, while this is happening, this is a big sewer pump that has opened up, because even Kaveh Mousavi now is speaking up. He's saying that it's quite evident to me that when you gave me the contract, you said I can keep 20% of what I recover, but you never had any interest in getting anything recovered. You, on the other hand, all you wanted was evidence from me so you could confront these guys who were in opposition to you and to get them to fall in line. And he's given all these examples. Sherpao is a good example. I mentioned to you those three politicians who set up a new party, the PPPP, or the two sons of General Akhtar Abdul Rahman, who joined PMLQ and were let off the hook. An admiral who signed a plea bargain was let off the hook. And he said, all you've done is, whenever I find evidence of a bank account, you take that evidence from me, you go to the guy in whose name that account is, and you make a settlement with him or her to suit your politics. You are not after corruption busting. So even if you do that, that's your problem. But pay me the money, or I will then let the stink out and I will expose all of you. He's gone to the extent of saying that an emissary or a delegate who came to see him on behalf of the Pakistan National Accountability Bureau, he told him that he had uncovered an account holding more than $1 billion of Pakistani money. And he said, before you talk of that account, give me a cut from that account. So he said the Pakistani NAB's man himself wanted a cut from me. I complained to Pakistan government. They've done nothing about it. I might have been better off informing the police here. Similarly, he also says, so that the Sharifs and the others don't feel very good, he said somebody called Anjum Dar came to me on behalf of the Sharif family and said he will give me 25 million if I get off their trail. So this is now a situation that is a complete free-for-all in Pakistan. There is a company that very little is known about. That company has the moral strength that it has got a bunch of court orders in its favor. Pakistan government has continued on with the idea that came up in Musharraf's time. So remember a few things before I conclude. One, I keep saying it in many other contexts. The best thing about a bad president is to not set it. Because once you set a precedent, it will be followed. Once you set a bad precedent, you are most certain that it will be followed. And the worse the precedent is, the more sure you are that the next guy will make it even worse. So that's what happened. Musharraf set up this NAB. It survived. It went through the era of Nawaz Sharif, Bhutto Zardaris, and then Imran Khan. And that, if I may say so, a little evil empire within an empire stays on. Pakistan Supreme Court has tried to control it, but has not been able to control it. So, and that's where I come to another concluding point, which is that think before you build an organization or an institution with so much power. And that is the criticism or the questioning I had when the idea of the Jan Lokpal Bill was coming up. Because Jan Lokpal Bill, I will share with you the article I wrote on that, the National Interest article. Because if you read the text of that bill, that was National Accountability Bureau, an organization, an institution with no appeal, no vakil, no dalil, police, judge, jury, lawyer, executioner, arbitrator, everything by itself. Because when you have, and then just like NAB of Pakistan, even that was going to share 10% with whoever helped them recover any ill-gotten money, and they were also to keep 10% themselves. So this was really a bad idea, and I'm glad that that bad idea has been forgotten. And in any case, the political objectives behind that campaign were achieved, because UPA was wiped out, someone else came to power, another political party came in. But can you imagine if we had created a monster in India of the kind, say, the Pakistanis have created in the form of their National Accountability Bureau? And if our country, God forbid, had to deal with this broadsheet kind of situation, this would have been such a big letdown. So this is the big story about Pakistan right now, which you are not seeing in our headlines because we have so many of our own headlines these days. And you might ask me, why do you follow Pakistan politics so closely? I do, because Pakistan is very important for India, not just in security terms, but in many other terms. And the best thing, even if a country is an adversary, the first thing you must do is to keep track of what's going on there, because you can learn lessons from it, you can learn some caution from it, but you also know that better knowledge, better understanding also empowers you.